regular planning commission meeting for Tuesday, December 14th, 4:33 p.m. And we will establish a roll call beginning with my immediate left.
Commissioner Linda Magri present.
Commissioner John Thomas present.
Commissioner Gloria Fleming present.
Commissioner Virginia Coniston present.
We do have a quorum. Yes, that's a big deal. Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Lewis, will you please lead us in that?
I will. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, item number four. Any added agenda items at this time? It will go under 13, the first number 13 there. Deborah?
Yes, I want to remind you, and if you belong to APA, you've been getting the same emails. This month, they have significant discounts on books, and you have a budget for that, and I'd really like it if you guys could take advantage of that. It'll help with the budget, and there are some basic planning books that I think are good. I would focus on street standards, livability, and building communities. Don't go crazy with oddities, because we can always pick those up or rent them, but the basics you're going to have, this is the month to order.
Okay, so we let's discuss that a little bit further under number 13, other
yes.
matters.
Okay.
So it'd be adding to our library.
Yeah.
Begin starting a library. Actually, in this case. Okay, so number 5, public comments. Your items not on the agenda. Unfortunately, we don't have. Or fortunately, we don't have in public.
It'll move things along, right?
It certainly should. Hopefully, we have somebody at the hearing. Can you have a hearing with no?
Give them time to start.
Yeah, it's only. I guess
we could.
It's 6 o'clock. Yeah.
Or we could trade. Some of us could just go out and be the public. Approval for Planning Commission meeting minutes for the November 17th, the work session and the public hearing minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
No.
Or any discussion? So on the discussion of the Planning Commission meeting minutes.
I didn't have Virginia? Anything on the work session, but I thought we
Might
needed
wait.
To clarify.
We got to get that.
Oh.
I gotta get the changer in here.
Okay.
Just one moment, she'll be back.
I don't have anything. Linda, did you have anything on any of them? Okay, so it's just Virginia.
All right, let's wait, and then we'll get her to.
Gosh, I was just ready. Is that okay? Can I go ahead?
It's loud.
Okay. Page 3 of the actual public hearing minutes.
Page 3.
Okay. Item at the bottom, 1.08.04. It said Bob Reed asked about the commercial zoning. Deborah McMahon stated in dealing with commercial use, it's important to make sure that the industrial lands are preserved for economic development. Then it jumps to close public hearing to continue hearing at a later date. I think we need to specifically state in the minutes that the Planning Commission decided to continue the hearing specifically in regards to the Reed Road Industrial and Newberry Business Park zoning. Is that?
So to kind of detail.
Specific.
Yeah.
Because the meeting minutes need to
reflect
that. That's why we're only going to be hearing that subject. That's it. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's so did
correct.
You get any of that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Page 3 of the public hearing. At the bottom, 010804, where it discusses Bob Reed asks about commercial zoning, and then it jumps to that we decided to continue the public hearing. At some point in there, after Bobbery, between the other, is we need to state that the Planning Commission decided to continue hearing specifically in regards to Reed Road Industrial and Newberry Business Park zoning, looking at zoning that light industrial. Is that correct? And then specifically.
Because that's why it was continued was.
Okay. And that's the only reason.
Yeah. It was continued to.
You know, those are the minutes on the public hearing.
Yes, the public hearing only. The other one I didn't have any corrections myself.
Okay.
So that you're able to limit the testimony.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other further other changes?
I move to approve with the addition of the names. Specifics added to the public hearing.
I second it.
Moved and seconded.
Get a little personal. We're just going to step out.
Well. If there's no further discussion, we'll go ahead and approve minutes with the changes. We'll wait till she comes back and do that. That we can do here. And let's go right into this is what you can do amongst yourself. Item number 7 is the Planning Commission self-evaluation, and we talked about doing this. And I can't remember if we did it last year or not, but might as well start some new habits.
We didn't.
And start it this year. So we're here in December, end of the year already. Wow. So we need to do a little self-evaluation. So let's be honest and candid and productive.
May I make a suggestion?
You certainly can.
Some cities have a form that they use, and it may behoove us to kind of research what kind of forms fit Lapine, and then you just fill them out and you discuss it at a later
time. Turn them in every December. That'd be great.
Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You want something?
Let's do that. Okay. And, you know, and if it's a form, probably one page, we could do that next month. I mean, we don't need to delay today, so we could do that next month then. And that will be our 2010 first annual self-evaluation.
I do think, then, too, we probably should make a report to the City Council.
Absolutely. And that's these forms would do that. And probably maybe take a compilation of all of our forms, you know, and then put it into this one master form and hand it into the Council.
Basically what we feel we've accomplished or not accomplished.
Mm-hmm. And whether the monies they have allotted to us have been enough and that type of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be a good time because they will be doing the budget here before long.
There'd be certain work on that. So just things like that. I don't know, we're still here. Still ticking.
Some of us. We've had a little turnover here, but we're done.
So that'd be great. I don't think we need to move on that. It's just something we'll establish as per previous instruction. Just get it going. Number 8, discussion of 2011 goals and comprehensive plan. Now this is basically along the same lines to evaluate how we're looking at our goals and in comparison with, you know, the same comprehensive plan, but just kind of part of that self-evaluation. I think 7 and 8, right there, those items could possibly be kind of combined in the right form.
Number 8, you should have a meeting agenda that's dedicated to a quick review of your goals and policies and programs in the comprehensive plan. Enough time has gone by that at the beginning of the year, you'll want to see if certain things need to be scheduled, which then may turn into budget items for the council. Yep. So I think we should spend a meeting and run through those. Now, you can do this in advance as homework, and then, you know, we can come to the meeting. It's your choice.
Are you saying it should be a joint meeting with the council?
No, no. It's a meeting where you review the goals, policies, and programs in each chapter of the comprehensive plan. It won't take you long.
Okay.
But some of those programs have a dollar cost connected to them. And so you'll want to think about those, and we will advise you whether they're time or not. Remember, it's a 20-year plan.
Yeah.
So some things are necessary, some things are not.
And each year, I would imagine they still do this. In 09 and 10, they did. What I've been kind of going by is the city of Lapine established their goals, and I haven't seen 10-11s, but as far as I know, we were right on track 10. And then this, we'll have our own goals, I suppose, but they'll be based generally upon the city's goals. And so,
you should be consistent with.
Yeah, we should basically, use the council's guideline here to establish, our time frames and such. So
yeah, use the same type of format, I would think.
I don't know if we have to come up with another form or not. We'd like to have another copy of the council's.
I think it would be taking that, you look at the comprehensive plan, the land use, which is specific to what the Planning Commission does, goals and policies, and say, things, as related to what got done or didn't get done last year, here's what we think the council should work on related to the land use plan. And then think of it and prioritize it.
Recommendation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Here's what we think needs to happen this year, and here's how we prioritize it. Because right after you do that, they'll be looking at a new set, they'll be looking at their goals and policies, saying, we didn't get to this, we want to keep it on the list. And then it all filters in because the budget starts in March, April.
Because there's definitely some longer term things that we haven't got to that need to stay. We have public
comment. Can I ask a question or make a comment?
Sure.
Are we talking about something like an annual work plan, which is a function of the comprehensive plan?
Yeah, it's very close to that. And
that's what the county does. They take what's in there and they look at everything as a timely matter, and they put it into it's a priority list, or it's just they call it the annual work plan.
Right.
I'm assuming we would see that same.
Yeah, and this is what the council came up with in 09-10. And what it is to prioritize. It's based on the comprehensive plan, but it's more of a prioritized list in that we may not be able to get to everything, but what we need is a prioritized list to go by so that we can prioritize our work. And so.
And it's linked. The biggest thing is it's linked to what the community wants, but fiscally, what can you get to?
Right. Yeah, that's what those
two things. Yeah.
So it's absolutely based on the comprehensive plan. I mean, we probably shouldn't have a council that just goes off on their own and doesn't consider comprehensive plan. But as long as it's based on the comprehensive plan and what the public has wanted, then you'll come up with this prioritized list here, and then, for instance. Mosquito abatement, which was a long-term plan in 2009 and 10, ended up being a short-term plan in that you did it. The city did it. So the city did it. So that wasn't. However, there's some things on the short-term and mid-term plans that have been done. So.
Your biggest challenge for the upcoming year rests in two areas. One, getting the transportation system plan done, and that requires attendance at some public meetings, etc. And then making sure that the public understands what is in the comprehensive plan. And we talked about your budget and how that we would build the library and make sure that the public had better awareness of the comprehensive plan. And I think if you focus on those two areas and then take a look at the internal components of the comp plan that might be timely, you'll be in good shape.
Absolutely.
Okay. And going to what offshoot of what you just said, which is a transportation plan, since they're working on the Highway 97 corridor plan, should we as a commission have a specific input on that other than just attending meetings as individuals?
No.
I didn't know how that... because of the fact that we had so much input during the comprehensive plan that people said, we really want to see this, we really want to see that. Can we... Have they asked for that information that we have on file? Or can we offer it? Or
the technical analysis of the corridor plan, this body should not influence that. Mm-hmm. We should let the raw data speak for itself so that component becomes kind of background material for the TSP. And it'll be the backbone of the TSP, because that is the main corridor. Mm-hmm. So once we get the technical details of that corridor plan done, I was just talking to Rick about it before this meeting, we're going to get an RFP out pretty quick, because it is a budgeted line item to get that TSP done this fiscal year. Mm-hmm. So it folds into one and the other. You could comment on the corridor plan, but really that kind of technical report, there isn't really anything for you to do.
Well, they just had asked for public input. They wanted us to, like, send...
But that wasn't as planning commissioners.
No. But what I'm asking is, at some point, they have their evaluation. They'll make suggestions. But as a planning commission, don't we have input as to what we want it to look like? I mean, how our city's going to look?
We would, as far as what's along with
on
that.
Yeah. Has everyone gotten onto the city's website where there's opportunity to put input in on the corridor plan? Has everybody been on that site?
Yeah, no. I mean, I went to the meeting, and I'm familiar with
on the city's website, ci.lapine, there's opportunity in there to highlight segments of 97 corridor and put your comments in. Mm-hmm. And I probably put in too many already, so you guys need to put in some.
You can use my name.
Well, when I get on there and it asks for my comment, I ask who to give it, so... I put in a few in there, but that is, I was on there the other day, and it's been out for weeks and weeks and weeks, and there was very few comments that I was surprised by. I thought, everybody has something to say until it's time to say it, I guess.
I guess
ODOT's going to do what they're going to do.
Well, keep in mind, the corridor plan is a three-pronged supported project from the county, from LIGI, and from the city, and ODOT, of course, too, so forth. Mm-hmm. And the analysis is to take a look at the corridor, take a look at the needs, compare it against the law that regulates those needs, and determine a priority so that when the rest of the system develops, we know what has to be developed first along that corridor, because it supports everything else. Mm-hmm. It's mostly technical data, but the important things I see the public commenting on would be, look, we want our kids to be safe, we need safe routes, we need sidewalks to connect, we need safe routes to schools, crossings are critical. All of those things that are going to be part of this plan anyway, if you comment in that regard, that's helpful. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the Planning Commission as a whole does not.
Okay. I guess my question would be, would we ever be in a position where we would have to conduct any kind of hearings? We would have the say on anything that's going on that, to where we would be compromising ourselves if we did give input.
No, the TSP will be a legislative matter. When it comes up, you'll be fine.
And the physical improvements, when you look at, well, a lot of those are like just the public infrastructure improvement within the right of way. Mm-hmm. There are design standards that ODOT has that they need to build it to meet all those legal safety requirements, and so a lot of times they're exempt from the land use permitting process.
Okay,
it's
that's
not
what it might,
like a land development action. It's an infrastructure, like exempt water lines and things like that just need to have to go in.
I would imagine anything within an easement, they will have to go to local government.
If they're new roads, sometimes they do, or if it's part of a subdivision, something, but like when I'm expanding a highway, sometimes you just exempt them. Mm-hmm. If it's based upon some other adopted plan.
Yeah,
like the corridor plan.
Okay.
I'm eager to see the new corridor plan.
That's supposed to be in January, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It'll be maybe different from the last corridor plan. But because things have changed, so maybe around another 10 years there'll be a new corridor plan. Number nine, I'm sorry. So basically, we finished item eight, discussion 2011 goals and conference and plans with, did we want to further discuss that, or are we going to compile that with this evaluation?
They should be separate.
Okay.
It's really important to set aside a meeting and go chapter by chapter and see if anything needs to be highlighted or prioritized for the upcoming year.
Well, when, staff, do you think that we would have that time side with all the discussion on the zoning and ordinances?
Well, you can.
As early as next month?
Well,
after Christmas.
Yeah, next month.
So January?
Because I would assume that tonight, if you close the hearing,
mm-hmm.
The next thing you're going to do is you're going to look at, consider all the input that you got from the public.
Right.
Suggestions that from things we've heard, that we come back and say, here's what we heard from you and from the public, there would be tweaks to the comp plan, and then you deliberate and you choose, you know, here's what we want to add, and that becomes the recommendation to the city council. So, you know, if that happens in January, this moves to the city council in January, and then you're on to the next topic, which will be the comp plan.
Well, let's use that then for an agenda item for January. Patty, discussion of 2011 goals and comprehensive plan review. Thank you. All right. Item number nine, nomination election for 2011 Planning Commission officers. Are we ready to do such?
Have we got any applications?
No.
Have we?
Not in the ads runs in the Wise Buys every week.
What about the one application we had that we chose?
Linda Johnston? Mm-hmm. She's not interested.
Linda Johnston, no.
We need to try.
She decides she's on plenty of committees. So she actually said she was very interested, but that some water had gone under the bridge.
What about you, Virginia? Are you going to stay?
I was not intending to stay.
Still feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to be looking at two positions.
Mm-hmm.
I might suggest that within the budget that's allocated to you, and it may not cost anything, is to get some airtime with KRTC
mm-hmm.
and do some extended advertising and offer that people come to you. If they have questions about the position, you'd be happy to walk them through what the process is and do a little campaigning to get people interested.
So, is your term up at the end of this year?
Mm-hmm.
I would just throw out there, just as a request mm-hmm. or suggestion, is that if you close the hearing tonight and deliberation on the zoning ordinance, all the ordinances, mm-hmm. and the recommendation goes to the council in January, is that you stick around for that, at least that meeting to get.
I would be willing to do that.
Okay. Because it would take a planning commission action.
I don't know what it takes. An act of Congress to get me extended. No,
I think those three things. I want you to stay.
I'm willing to do that. I just can't get another.
Stay here until the January meeting.
Okay. And we appreciate that.
Thanks.
Very much.
Thank you.
All those in favor, signify with a sign of aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Welcome back.
I abstain.
I'm not voting. That's funny. Well, since I'd like to just go ahead and jump in here. Since John's done such a good job, I would like to nominate him for Commissioner Chairman again.
Anybody wants to turn out? Oh, boy. Moved and seconded. On the question.
Any discussion?
Yeah.
Okay.
discussion?
No, there's not.
You're just having so much fun.
I absolutely, you know, love this work. I just hope that, you know, I'll be in the area longer. I mean, it,
well, you have to stand till we get some more people. You can't move until we get more people. You and Virginia have to stay.
No, I'm good.
I'm okay. Good. No, can we vote?
Yeah. So, no questions. So, all those in favor, signify by aye.
Did you have a
question?
Aye.
There you go.
Those opposed, and I'm not going to waste my time. The ayes have it.
So we're going to need some crowd control. I mean,
I could make the call to Sergeant at Arms. We don't have one.
Okay, and I would nominate Glory to continue as the co-chair.
Nomination has been made. Gloria Fleming to continue as vice chair of the Fine City Planning Commission.
I second it.
And I have a second on the question. No. Those in favor, signify with aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, the ayes have it. So ordered.
I hear an alarm.
Yeah, we've been having problems with that.
Is it a fire?
It's locked into a closet in there. It's got something to do with the door.
Hmm.
I hope it will not run. We may have to close the doors in here.
Okay, congratulations, Planning Commission. We have officers for 2011 in place.
We just begun to get our feet wet, John.
Yes. Yes, it's gone by quickly.
Yes, it has.
I give you that. Okay, so item number 10, discussion of Planning Commission training in the spring. We need to look at our budget, where we're at on that, and any other training. We've absolutely had a good time so far with the training that we have had and have received awesome.
Yeah, we learned
training.
A lot. That one was a good one.
There's one other training coming up in February we're going to talk to Rick Allen about. We need to look at the budget and such. This, the only one under the Core Area 5, the Land Use Planning and Economic Development, is a 6.5-hour course in Kaiser, February 22nd, or Medford, May 24th, and it's called Oregon Planning Procedures. Those, all of us should have this, right?
Yeah, any good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, League of Oregon Cities.
League of Oregon Cities, yeah.
Yeah,
the one in there that pertains to planning is one in February, the first one February 22nd. I told Rick that I would like to go to it, so I would show you guys also. That's the only one connected with planning. However, you know, I don't think we have to be limited to just planning. I mean, any type of...
Can we go to the one in Boston?
Yeah.
Yeah, well...
No, I don't
I'm
think
I'm sure
so.
We could if we...
I mean, that does sound
visa.
Like a... I don't think
you
know, so.
If you want to go...
I don't think so.
We probably can't stop.
You know, there's plenty of stuff that's unique to Oregon and that's close by. I just as soon try to get as much as we can out of the local
yeah.
ones.
Yeah, you know, we all get that planning magazine, and in there it shows some planning of neighborhoods, you know, that look similar to this. And I don't think we're quite ready for that kind of planning yet. Anyway, we...
And I think we should spend some time, when we do have time, after you guys get your computer, that we could connect that to a projector and get some... YouTube segments available to you on urban planning, community centers, things like that. It's good for the council, excuse me, for your planning commission to view what other people have done, and there's plenty on the web, and we can share that and view that together.
I would love to be at that point.
Yeah, you are now. It's just a matter of purchasing the products.
Right now. And so, If we don't, if we're not able to describe exactly what what we would like to have. Maybe we can all think about this by next month to put a letter into the council, and it would be just pertaining to our current budget of things that we require, so the council knows that these things that we're going to be ordering, and so that they give their approval and start getting these things. This computer with the projector and our library started.
Yes.
You know, we really don't have anything to work with right now.
The thing of it is that isn't only for us too, because you know the city council would also have that. You know, anybody.
It's just for the city.
Yeah. So it's
the
city library.
Next planning commission.
It's for the public.
Yeah.
As well.
And that's the thing of it. We've got new people coming in. They need to catch up. And so you know, it's I think it's very important.
You know, and I realize that we do have quite a bit left on our 2010 budget, and I am not about to try to spend it all, but there's things that we absolutely need right now. So,
you know, just about the technology. For example, if we had a question about a certain town center and we wanted to look at it as a group, we'd Google it, we'd have it up on the board, and we'd say, okay, at the ground level, here's how San Diego deals with this one neighborhood issue. And you'd be able to see it right then and there.
And just, you know, looking up just state of Oregon. Administrative rules and everything. So, I mean, we could go in there in that room and do it, but then we're in Paddy'sway and all that. So, I mean, absolutely need it.
And there's I think as you go through, like, back up and think of the goal, as you go through the comprehensive plan and establish goals you want to work on and you think the council should work on, and those immediate plan, that's kind of where your training could be focused as well. So it kind of might be like right as you're doing that, you're having the training in mind as well.
You bet.
Could I ask also, because, or make a suggestion or see if it might be helpful. I keep reading about Redmond and their little city center area that they're developing, and that they're going to have a skating rink, and they're putting money into a company coming in to build a theater, you know, these type of things. Can we go? I don't know.
You want a field trip?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just suggesting. I mean, we've talked about different things like that, and then I see grant writing in there as a course.
There's several courses.
If I was actually interested, that would probably be one of the ones that I would, if I were staying. No. Because I think that those are types of things that we don't necessarily have, except for you guys. We don't have a lot of that expertise in the city.
Most cities don't.
Yeah,
and so when you sit there and you think, okay, so where did Redmond get off this?
See, and that's and a lot of times it's a grant.
Funding.
It's a grant.
Exactly,
where
that's why
they apply for a planning grant for like an area specific plan, like a redevelopment plan.
Mm-hmm. Because I keep thinking of that one little section kind of where Linda is, you know, where in the grid. And
yes.
We've said it's near the school. What about developing that area for like possibly community college extension, those type of things? But if we could figure out how.
The biggest issue is always paying for those. It comes down to can you apply for a grant for like a master plan or community plan for that area specific plan or refinement plan, or the council dedicates money from say like a general fund to that project.
And, or a combination of the two.
Or a combination of the two. And it's again, it's like, where does that rise in the priority? And that's what it really always comes down to.
So what's
do
the
this year or next year?
Itself develop a master plan for an area and then offer it back to developers in that way? Or?
No. I want to back up to talk about what Virginia mentioned. Older cities like Redmond have an opportunity to raise funds through a variety of different means. They have better bonding capability. They have urban renewal funds that are instituted that can bring in revenue to do the things that you're talking about. for Lapine, you're not going to have access to those kinds of funds. You're fairly limited. What you can do is you can ask the U of O, through its program, and they often do this, is to use parts of Lapine as a test case for their core curriculum and develop a master plan. And we could work with their professors and say, we have this segment of land, we have a willing city that wants to see the best and the brightest and how they would design this, given the kinds of elements we have in the comp plan. You could do that and get some free work.
Well, and can it like help us to get that section from BLM? Isn't that BLM land right now?
Yes.
But it's inside the city. So if we came up with a plan and said we would like
which segment are you talking about? Virginia? The big green one?
I will say there are several other entities that are within, like LCAT.
Near the school, we said it would be kind of nice to develop that more as like possible expansion for school use, maybe. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking COCC, they keep expanding to
college,
like
regional hospital.
But if we did something like that, and they came up with a design based on that, and we came up with we know how long it takes for BLM to do anything. But it would possibly give us that oomph to say, in the city, we'd really like the city to make this land available.
You can make that gesture. You know, their plans from our interviews with the school districts is that they don't have any plans to expand the local school district in the city. They have enough schools to satisfy the need.
But I'm thinking down the road. I'm saying not just the school district, but or a technical school that isn't COCC.
Okay.
Those type of things where we can make it more appealing, we're saying
you want some policies in your economic development section. Mm-hmm. And what we could do is have a meeting set aside, perhaps in the spring, to talk about what you feel is a priority in that section. And then what you're talking about is lobbying to make sure that people understand that you're ready to go for development in those areas.
And there are other stakeholders. There are other groups that are doing things like that. Mm-hmm. And the problem with grants is they don't give you money. Usually there's conditions attached to it. And the city, you know, like matching funds and all those sort of things, they're not in a position to do that. Yeah. But there are other groups that are working on that and may be willing to come forward to support some of those things, too.
Yeah, you have to broadcast yourself a little bit.
Right. And it's, getting the public involved in generating the interest is the biggest thing, I think.
It'll be much easier for you to accomplish these things once you have a staff person in place. It's real hard right now to have any support, meaning that, you know, somebody to manage this.
Right.
And you don't have a staff.
Yeah.
So you're not quite, you're almost there, but you're not quite there.
And we're a little bit off topic, but
okay, I was just thinking
of that. No, that's fine. I wanted to continue because it's very interesting. Getting back to the training in the spring, Rick Allen said he was going to have a discussion with you as far as the training that I was talking about at the League of Oregon Cities. Mm-hmm. So we might just look at that budget and everything and see if that's in there.
When you brought up about you, there is money left yet this year. Is there money to buy some of this equipment that you're talking about that we need?
Yes.
You think maybe we should go ahead and
we talked about it in a previous meeting, and you were going to follow up and deal with it, but we had some higher priorities.
Well, and that's what Deborah talked about, actually looking at the APA, seeing the books, you know, getting together, approving of the books within this commission that we want. A planning commission laptop or whatever, that's, we can leave that up to staff to order. But as far as the books and everything, let's all of us get online, whatever we do, and
make some selections.
Get an actual list going where, and list and price and where it's coming from and all that. And let's give it to staff and have them compile a letter to the council. Let's try to have that by next month in January. How's that sound?
Well, and once you know how much that's going to cost, I mean, I guess what I'm saying, are we going to spend the money on, you know, will there be enough for us to still take some training and be able to do that too?
That's my understanding. When we developed the budget, we had separate areas for each thing. I don't think you've exceeded anything yet.
Yeah. No, we might be getting close on just outsourced training and travel and that type of thing, but we haven't even touched any of the library or training aids or anything like that.
I think you're in good shape.
So we're in good shape with that. So let's try to have a list. Let's get it to her. More the merrier, and then let her sort it out. Him or her, get it done by next January. We absolutely could use it. Especially when we're done with the ordinances.
I didn't see anything on this as far as cutoff dates as to when you have to put that in. Do you know? Did you see anything?
But the classes do fill.
But weren't you saying that the books, it's only in December that we get the discount?
Yeah.
Well, they have different promotionals throughout the year, but this looked like the best one I've seen so far.
Is there any way that you could...
You want me to get a Christmas list together?
Yes, I do. And so we could do it when
in
it's
a timely manner.
Well, before the end of the year, we need to get it ordered.
So. And you need to, you know, I think of training, like building the library and training is and hopefully, you know, you work with the council, you have a budget every year for continued training, but I would just throw out there needs to be a blend between training for you individually, attending conferences and seminars, but also building a library and tools so that as you transition in new planning commissioners, that they have things available to them to come up to speed to help all of you, you
know, that's what
that much quicker.
So
it's how do you blend those two things.
So next month when we discuss the 2011 goals, that might be a high priority. The training system plan, I don't know who's going to develop it. We have discussed it for some time now. As we all know, it's tied in with the we were going to make a transportation commission, and we decided not to do that, to tie that in with the what's the word I'm trying to get to? Utilities?
The Public Works.
Public Works Commission. So the transportation system plan was supposed to come out of that, but there's been some other priorities in the city that have delayed that. And so hopefully in 2011, that transportation system plan, which we discussed as being one of the first priorities that needs to happen, especially with planning and development. You start, it's that theory where you start on underground pipes and everything and work up to the roads, and you don't want to cut the roads. So that whole public works thing and transportation is tied in very closely. It needs to happen as soon as possible. And as far as planning goes, I know there's some other things that are going on, you know, in the city, but also we have a timeline through the state, the transportation system plan, and I think we're getting pretty close to, I think it's 10 year, so we might have 5 years left.
Well, let me put it this way. The comprehensive plan doesn't work very well without its companion TSP.
Right, and I don't know why we would want to wait at the last minute for that anyway.
No, we're budgeted for this year, so you'll see the RFP go out in the first of the year.
That'd be great. That's a big milestone right there, I think, in the city's planning. Any other discussion before we get in? We could leave part of the time.
I have some work I need to get done with you before the meeting. So
yeah, you have 40 minutes for your continuing discussion on zoning ordinances.
Okay. I thought we had some good discussion last time. We filled filled the room, and that was helpful to hear people's comments on the different ordinances. I didn't hear much on lighting, so we'll continue on with the direction that you've given us in terms of cleanup and thinking about this and that. And at the end of this process, what's going to happen is everything that you've talked to us about doing, we will have to do, and then that will be your recommendation to the council. But the one thing that's lingering out there is what you discussed before, which is the creation of a light industrial zone, and what does that mean? So I'm going to hand these out because I think this will be a good way to proceed. How many do we have? Let's have one of those to each person. This is a little simple exercise. I just pulled this out of Ben's code for light industrial. It shows permitted and conditional uses and things that are not permitted in the light industrial zone. And
sure, thank you.
And you test. So essentially what was discussed last time is you need almost a transition industrial zone. And people are saying we need something before you get to commercial or residential, and that it shouldn't have heavier industrial uses in it, but it should have things like cafes and support services and maybe lighter service and repair, feed and seeds, that kind of thing that you wouldn't want to see next to a heavy industrial use like a biogreen plant or a chipper or something that produced materials that were noisy or had emissions, things like that. Okay, so in Ben's case, you can see in the chart, the IG zone is their heavier zone, but the IL zone, obviously means light industrial, allows a variety of things, and I thought I'd go through those with you. So in the IL zone, you can do light manufacturing, makes sense, sign companies, furniture, antique stores, refinishing, things like that. Heavy manufacturing, which is not the purpose of the light industrial zone, you require a conditional use permit to make sure it is the right fit. That makes sense. Based on land shapes, it may be appropriate to have something heavy in the light. Junkyards, wrecking yards, not allowed. That makes sense because that wouldn't be a good transitional use. Things like research and development facilities, a software company, somebody developing a new perfume, things that are contained in a building are good light industrial uses. So research and development, that makes sense. Wholesale warehousing, storage and distribution, pretty typical. You have a big boxy building and you sell grain, to cattle. That makes sense. Fuel distribution, conditional use for the obvious reasons. They're flammable, they need separation, there may be some big traffic issues. So those would be conditional. Production businesses, which are more technology-oriented. You may have broadcast studios, you may have radio stations, things like that. Software developers, those make sense. So that would be permitted outright. Wholesale processing, such as dry cleaning and laundry, in Ben's case, they permit those outright. I question a little bit whether that's something we want to have permitted outright, but I'll leave that one up to you. Because there may be some side effects that are not so nice. Food and beverage processing and packaging, if you had a distributor, if you had somebody who packaged water, that would make sense. Those are pretty clean industries. They're all contained. Residential caretaker for each development. In some cases, it makes sense to have somebody on site managing the uses, especially for software and telemarketers or people who have proprietary information that they want to have some security on site. That's not unusual. In the commercial realm, where you have vehicle, equipment, and boat repair, rental, and storage services, those are permitted in the light industrial zone. And that makes sense, detail shops, things like that. medical and dental laboratories, and large animal vet clinics.
Can I interrupt just for a moment?
Yeah.
On the commercial storage of vehicles, where did we allow... Well, under commercial it says vehicle equipment, boat repair, rental, storage, and service. The two words here, I'm trying to combine vehicle and storage. Where would someone store towed vehicles? Not necessarily junk, but could be junk. Mm-hmm. Which industrial zone would that be in?
You're talking about boats and campers
and
things like that.
Well, what happened when, say, for instance, the state police impound a vehicle? Oh. What has to happen is a call is made to a local wrecking yard. That local wrecking yard picks up a vehicle, not necessarily junk. Could be just a drunk that was pulled over and they impounded a vehicle. The vehicle could be a very nice Cadillac Escalade, that matter. But they have put it
somewhere.
Yeah. And I didn't see anywhere that kind of specifically talks about, I think you call it an impound yard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would have it in your more traditional industrial area. It's not so much a transitional use. It would be something that would be frowned upon as a transitional use because they're ugly.
In a light industrial. So it would be more in the
heavier, industrial. Your standard industrial.
And there you would have a caretaker situation as well. So vehicle equipment, boat repair, we're talking about automobile repair, things that you would normally see on a daily basis. For example, if you're in Bend, 9th and Wilson is a good area where you've got lots of different things there.
Storage there is more...
interior.
Interior storage. Long storage buildings, right? Mm-hmm.
Or a small storage area, like the Volvo repair guy. He's got 8 cars out front. Mm. But it's not an impound car.
Okay.
In commercial, the medical and dental laboratories and large animal veterinary clinics, they're permitted in the IL. I question whether you want to have a large animal vet in the light industrial zone. But I want to make, because we had so much discussion about animal uses before, I'm not sure where else they would go.
That's what I'm thinking. Where would they go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's probably not appropriate to use up your best industrial space for vet clinics. The IL makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, you might think about splitting these out and having large animal vet clinic as a conditional use and let the rest be a P.
I think it should be conditional because depending on where it's at.
Yeah.
Because if it's closer to industrial and not going to be right next to somebody's house with a bunch of possible animals that might smell.
Yeah. I mean, most vet clinics don't keep animals overnight unless it's inside or in an enclosed area.
No, we do have a lot of animal owners around.
And you've got truck traffic hauling in. So is that sound okay to make that one a conditional use?
I think
the medical
that would
and dental.
Be the best
can we separate
way.
It from mm-hmm. medical and dental
yep.
and
right.
put large animal?
Exactly.
Okay. That's what she was saying.
Okay, so outdoor commercial uses like outdoor storage, building, and garden supply. And I would add in their farm, too, would be conditional use. So
farm
garden
supply.
And farm supply. If you're okay with that, because we had that come up.
Mm-hmm.
And those are good things to manage a little differently because there's aerial spraying with gardens. You know, you just want to watch those a little closer.
Why is that a conditional use permit under light industrial?
Well, because they have characteristics that require a little more management of how things are organized on the site. So if you had outdoor storage and it was right next to existing daycare in a residential zone, you might be concerned that somebody's storing, you know, pesticides right there.
I was going to say, with piles of manure.
Fertilizer. Things that would make sense as a buffer. Conditional use permit gives you an opportunity to look at things a little closer.
Well, yeah, I just... I guess I forgot that, you know, there is a certain amount of residential that right abuts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Industrial. However, it's hard for me to always, you know, consider that, I mean, it's an industrial use, and so I suppose, it, you know, there don't we have buffers in between industrial and residential? I mean, we have the big checkered area down to the south. Yeah, it's going to be a buffer anyway. I mean, really all we're talking about, aren't we, is just one tiny little area.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want, as a neighbor, I wouldn't want to have to stare at a big pile of manure. If, you know, if it could be on the other side of the building, you know, then that wouldn't be a problem if there's trees and stuff.
And that's the key, is the when you think of permitted use versus conditional use, don't let your thinking tend to take you down the road that a conditional use means that it's not allowed. You start to start to think that way. Basically, it just says conditions can be put on the development to require. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we just want to think about it a little bit more during the review process.
Mm-hmm. We can still do it, but we just want it so it's not going to be offensive.
Yeah, that's it.
Just hold it here.
Yeah. And this zone may broaden over the 20-year planning horizon.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not just thinking of this one gentleman's area. We're thinking that there may be zone changes that are appropriate later on.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to think about this a little broader.
And all conditional uses require a hearing?
No.
Some
are administrative.
Notification, the land notification.
The procedures ordinance allows you to bump it up to
more expensive for developers.
Yeah, but part of it, in terms of the expense there, it would be depending on what you set your fees at, it's conditional use permit fee, and the additional expense to prepare the application, say from the applicant's side, is the site plan's all the same because you're doing site plan review with any of these. Is addressing some more written criteria. Basically, tell us more in depth how and why this is going to be compatible in this zone.
And so how much more of it is an expense is it to the person that's wanting to do it?
It depends on, you know, if they prepare the application themselves or if they hire somebody to put it together for them. There's some expense there. And what would the additional fee be by the city for the conditional use permit in addition to the site plan review? Because you're going to have site plan review with any use, any whether it's permitted or conditional use. But just if it's conditional use, you have one extra application and a fee. So,
and how much does that generally? I mean, are we talking $20? Are we talking $200?
It depends. The fees are going to be related to, when the council works through these, related to the cost to do the review. So if it's an extra 2 hours worth of time, and it could be $100, it could be $300, it could be $500, but it'll be probably a few hundred dollars worth of money, but not to the point where they can't do the project.
It needs to be connected to the actual cost of the service.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be, you know, jabbing the developer for all we can.
Right.
But the actual cost of service is justifiable in what ORS 228 requires us to do.
And justifiable in as much as if you're doing something that could have adverse impact to the community, the obligation of the city is to review it. But if somebody's going to be spending $50,000 or $100,000 to establish a business like this, if it's an extra $250, it's not a lot in the project. As opposed to if it were, you know, some communities it's $3,000 or $4,000 to process a conditional use permit. I don't ever know why.
It's insane.
I mean, I don't know why.
And we don't want to get there.
No.
When I wanted a variance of 6 feet, and I was so new to the rules, it was like $1,150, mm-hmm. and they had no intention of giving us that. Because we were in land management, we were in so many zones, overlays.
See?
$1,150 with no recourse.
Okay, but I want to do a little time management here. Don't worry about the fees yet. We've got to get these uses understood before our hearing.
Yep.
Well, what I'm seeing with these, even, you know, you're going to establish a rapport. And if the city is really hard-nosed about everything, that's where the key is going to be.
That's right.
If they're, you know, even if we have these and yet they're reasonable and, you know, what they're asking or the conditional, you know, it's no big deal, then it's not going to be a problem. People aren't going to care because they're going to get the permits, you know. They know that. But
yeah, well, you don't want to be an obstructionist.
I would say it's up to, it just makes them come up with a good design rather than throwing something down on a piece of paper that doesn't take into consideration how they impact their neighbor. And it's your minimal fee and time to ensure that what they've designed protects the surrounding properties. And I mean, the reality is, you're only going for that use. You're only going to get so many of those businesses in your town to review. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Now here's what the gentleman in the audience talked about last time. The small scale personal and professional services. These are things that serve the immediate employment area where people are working, where they need services. And those things include coffee shops, delis, dry cleaners, not wholesale dry cleaners, but the little dry cleaners, barbershops, salons, copy centers, banks, financial institutions, and similar uses. And there's a limit to how big you can do that kind of activity, and there's a reason for that. You have a limitation is because you're supposed to be preserving this for industrial uses.
Right.
But we understand people need services, and we don't want them driving all over the place to get a donut.
Yeah.
So this makes sense. Mm-hmm. 2,500 is very generous. And as time
7-Eleven.
Yeah, as time goes on, if you need to enlarge that, you can. But for now, this is a great starting point. And then there's no limit to size for child care, fitness center, and similar uses, which are based on storing people or health centers, things like that.
And again, I think those are conditional uses rather than permitted outright, because you have a lot of other hazardous types of things, and you want to make, you're bringing people into that situation. So,
Moving on in the commercial realm, equipment rental and repair services like a U-Haul, that would make sense in the light industrial, because it's really just storage. Corporate headquarters, when co-located with a permitted or conditional use, fine, just fine. Mini storage warehouse is conditional. Contractor storage is permitted. Heavy equipment sales is permitted. My recommendation there is that you make that conditional use, because we're using the IL as more of a transitional area. Heavy equipment storage, if you had a big PAPE operation in the IL, it's going to take up a lot of land. Not necessarily the most compatible thing when we're transitioning. And I don't think it's too much to ask that the heavy equipment stuff be conditional.
Whenever we talk about heavy equipment, it's around these parts, it's pretty heavy.
Ambulance service, transportation yards, conditional. Commercial parking lot, fine. People need to park. It's not a big deal. Recreational facility, privately owned, is conditional, and for obvious reasons. Public and institutional. And the government facilities where the public's generally not received, like a public works yard, a school bus storage, transit area where buses move in and out, that would be permitted. But in this case, for us, I think that needs to be conditional because we have transportation issues. And with a lot of buses moving back and forth, I think you need to take a close look at whether this would be with need a few more conditions in the lighting.
Well, yeah, it takes up so much room.
Yep.
I have a question on the government services. And just looking at Ben with the DMV. Okay. And I was just looking in our current permitted single-family, multifamily residential zones where it says government buildings and services.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where it falls in. Are we putting ourselves into the same situation where it should be under conditional use in that section? Just because of that being such a big stink.
Yeah.
I mean, what if they put DMV right in the middle of the new development?
You know, the answer to your question is yes. But if you write a code to avoid the one crappy decision that somebody made,
right,
you're going to keep the rest of the good things, you know, make it more difficult for them.
Okay.
It's something to talk about. We're just talking about the Ben DMV situation and whether our code would allow that. And the answer is yeah, it would. But you don't write a code for the 1% of the population that screws up.
Except they are now in Ben.
Well, Let us think about that.
What it really comes down to is you can't think of every situation that comes up, and there's always going to be something like that that pops up. And
and maybe DMV will be a little more sensitive. Well, it's just the craziest decision.
Well, it's a government agency that should do the right thing, but that's a whole other.
Let's consider a little bit the school district bus facilities.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It actually would be, it's in traditional commercial zone right now. So that would be a...
Conditional.
Yeah, that'd be a non-conforming use where the school district is right now. If we go...
Well, it's on school district grounds right now, right? It's over by the middle school?
Right? Yeah, and we're just talking about the IL zone, the light industrial
zone. Yeah, that's what I thought.
So we're talking about just storage, because, I mean, obviously that's so far away from the school, they're not going to park their buses they use on a daily basis over there, would they?
Well, we're just saying in this particular zone, these things are allowed. You may have those things allowed in other areas, like commercial or mixed use.
Right.
So... this would be specific just to the light industrial potential for the pine. Under utility facilities, this would be like pump stations, a natural gas center, a telephone distribution, telecommunication facilities. My feeling is you should make that conditional.
Well, I see your little star of the asterisk down there.
I think you would be much
There's already a question about it, so it seems like it would be best to be conditional.
And if there's confusion, we have essential services, which is underground sewer and water. When we get to the nuts and bolts of fixing everything before the final product, I want to make sure that we don't have a conflict there, because telephone and cable is typically an essential service, but a telecommunications facility, which may be a cell tower, is different. So we'll have a little cleanup here to make sure that we're consistent with the other decisions you've already made. Special districts, irrigation districts and similar facilities, like if CEC had an office or Midstate Electric, that would be permitted in the IL. It's like an office. So that makes sense. Vocational schools would be conditional. Public park and rec facility, conditional.
Did you compare this to what Leahy currently has for that zone? Because it's the business park.
Yeah.
And what they were advertising. And
it would fit into this.
Okay, I'm just asking if you compared the two to see if there was any conflict that we say someone has already purchased the land and they haven't started developing and we run into one of those situations.
I'll check with Lee again.
He had comments
on the first one, and we made those changes.
Okay.
But on this, we'll check with him more.
That might be a good idea if you can make it.
And he's been very good at responding.
I mean, if we add something, that's one thing. If we deduct it,
well, if something's in process, I don't want to screw that up. And that was it. We thought this would be a good exercise to go through. It covers lots of things, maybe some things you don't have to deal with right now. But to answer the gentleman's questions about, I need this kind of flexibility here, and some of it already exists, I think we've got it covered.
And we've talked, we're going to expand it past the zone up through Henri, right?
On this one side. How did we say we were going to do that? We're going to change the map.
We were doing,
remind me of that,
where it goes, where am I?
In the bright pink.
Bright pink.
Mm-hmm.
This area up to here.
Okay, so we're going.
But I didn't know that.
We're going from the subdivision west.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to draw on this so that we know, if I get.
Because it's already. On that one, it was easier because it was gray or something.
Okay, we're going to call this IO. Right here.
So it went from...
Did you go all the way over to the minutes, or was it just to that one?
This chunk. This
to the edge of where the yellow stops.
All that.
Yeah.
Oh, so all that...
Yeah.
In that little, the little half-acre business park there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have any...
And then extending.
It would be tough to get a lot of the heavy industrial stuff on this little
one. And that should be in agreement with Liggy there, because that's, I think that's what the original design was.
Where's Reed?
Oh, this is first.
Okay, first and Reed. So it's he's right in here.
What is the difference between a business park and an industrial park, light industrial park?
It's the, just the name, the nomenclature. I mean, you know,
we had the reason I'm asking, because a lady was at the BioGreen meeting the other night. She said when she bought the property, she thought she was buying next to a business park, not industrial. And I'm going,
I mean, because you come back to what the zoning allows in the property. And but typically a business park is equivalent to like a light industrial and industrial park.
That's
more
what
of
I thought.
Industrial.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Well,
okay.
We don't have anything else. We need to take a little break at some point.
Oh, good call.
And we'll be back here in a few minutes prior to 6 o'clock so we can start right on time.
All right.
Motion to adjourn.
I move.
Oh, excuse me. Other matters, and I think we already covered this. And do we have any other commissioner reports? Our staff is continuously keeping us updated, so we may not have any more on that. And any reports? Anybody go to any fantastic meetings during the month? We're starting a Ford Foundation Cohort 2, Gloria and I are a part of, and we're working on a city center rehabilitation of a park ground. I'll go ahead and make it public right now. Cohort 2 is working on revitalizing the little city center park down here just south of the library, which hopefully soon will be City of Lapine property. And we're talking about revitalizing that, and it's going to be called, it's the site of the historical school in Lapine, the first school of Lapine. So it's going to be Old School Centennial Park.
Nice.
City Center Park. And Cohort 2 is working with Ford Foundation and hopefully the city and a few other stakeholders to revitalize that park and make it a city, something that the city's proud of.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of people working on everything.
There's like 30 people involved, and it's fantastic.
Yeah,
like,
so is that, you guys about that? Is that, isn't that Park and Rec District?
It's actually library. It was an MOU formed. BLM let the library, Park and Rec, the old Park and Rec, use it. And then in 2000, they kind of segmented about 3 acres away to build a new library, and then left the property just south of the library as kind of a, it's still owned by BLM, but that it's a pie-shaped piece. There's a path that goes, you know how you go out on Frontier Days and there's that path you guys always put down that went from the parking lot and just split that right in half? That went south, north
and
south.
Oh, you're talking about the old Second Street.
A little path. It's the old Main Court, the old Main.
Oh, yeah, Main Street that runs down to...
Okay, it's everything just to the east of that.
Ah.
It's this little pie-shaped...
Horseshoes and...
Include down into the horseshoes and all that.
Okay.
Our little work doesn't go down the horseshoes, though. We only have... It's like a 10...
Well, we don't really have any specifics. Those will all be announced at a later time when we really get into the specifics.
Just
now. This is what we're going to do, but... You know,
whittled it down from about 30 projects down to this one main project that we are just now beginning to work on.
But who's managing this to make it
Ford
a
Foundation?
Ford Family.
The Ford Foundation will
Foundation.
Be
the
dealing with the triangle from the BLM and designing something there.
Well, it's working with stakeholders
the cohort.
And the
what's the cohort?
Cohort 2. That's There's 28, 30 people from Lapine. Okay. They're the ones that put the streetlights, that Cohort 1 put the streetlights up on Huntington.
Okay.
What it is, it's a three-year program.
It's a leadership program.
Yep. Ford Family and comes into this urban area that's less than 30,000 people and helps them more so in leadership development. But these little $10,000 to $12,000 projects are just little practice sessions for these leaders that they're trying to train.
Okay. Do we need to change anything on the map?
Yes.
No.
Zone for Park and Rec.
No,
you're right.
Sorry.
We're good.
It jives with what
regardless
the zoning
of who
allows.
Owns it or whatever, it's still for public use type
okay.
thing. So,
excellent.
And I would encourage if you know if you're approached on that, that if you you know take advantage. You know,
so there's a plan, like a master plan or a plan being developed
just now.
Third
or just now.
Next year,
and the Ford Foundation's doing the plan.
No,
no.
It's up to the they're doing the training.
They train these
within,
guys,
within
and
these,
they come up with the plan.
Within this cohort, these 30 people, there is a design and implementation action team.
Okay.
And they'll be doing that. And it's no more than again, it's a $10,000 to $12,000 budget. It's no more than a little conceptual sketch.
May I suggest
a couple comments?
I'd lend you my book, but. It would never come back. It's so fabulous. You need to order a book called City Comforts. Whoever's involved here, you should write it down. It's $12. It's worth it. It's called City Comforts, and it will give you visuals of everything you're talking about that you'll need for this. And you should just go on Amazon tonight and get it. And if you can't find it, yeah, it's called City Comforts. It's written by people in the Pacific Northwest. And if you can't get it or if it's out, I will lend it, but I will take a hostage.
Well, you might get invited one of the stakeholders meetings, too. You never know.
But it's fun. We have a good time.
Yeah. This book will make your day.
Good.
It's going to be awesome. It absolutely needs to be.
So are we adjourned?
Yeah, we need a comfort.
I'll make a motion.
Yeah.
So, on any other matters, we already discussed books we need for our library. So, as far as that goes, if we don't have any other matters, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Motion made and seconded. You're adjourned.
What is the focus of the hearing tonight?
The industrial.